here's what Connecticut is saying about Lisa Wexler.
You are a breath of fresh air. I can't wait to hear you again.
Back to the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
And welcome back to the show. Joining us now is Representative Kristen McCarthy-Vahey. She is serving her fourth term representing Fairfield's 133rd, and she is House Chair of the Planning and Development Committee, a member of the Government Administration and Elections and Transportation Committees. She's been elected to local office in 2005. In her own bio, she says, in her role as the Planning and Development Committee Chair, Kristen has been integral in modernizing and reorganizing zoning statutes to provide greater clarity and tools to local planning and zoning officials. She has also worked to restore voting rights to those on parole, giving Connecticut voters the chance to vote on two constitutional amendments, one for early voting and the other to provide no excuse absentee ballots to registered voters. There are a lot of other issues that she's interested in and committed to. Representative Vahey, McCarthy-Vahey, welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show. Hello.
Hello, Lisa. Thanks so much for having me with you this morning.
It's a pleasure. 203-333-9422 is our number. Feel free to pick up the phone and speak to your rep and talk to her about what's on your mind. So, Representative, well, would you like me to call you Kristen or Representative McCarthy-Vahey? I'll be happy to do either one.
Please call me Kristen.
Okay, Kristen it is. Easier for me to remember, you know, most of the time. Actually, names are the first thing to go, but you're younger than I am, so you don't know that yet. So, Kristen, so first of all, let me just say hello and welcome to summer. Is there anything in particular on your mind this morning, in this morning's news, that you are bursting to discuss on the air?
Well, Lisa, I was listening in earlier as you were talking, and generally speaking, the heat is on everybody's mind.
So yes, that's true.
Thinking a lot about our climate globally is something that's on my mind today, but I really want to touch base on what you were talking about in terms of what's happening with our staffing in some of our state agencies and how we balance those responsibilities to our taxpayers and being fiscally wise and sound with the long term, looking at those extra payments that we've made to the pension, but understanding that providing those basic services to especially the most vulnerable, and that's who you were talking about as a former child welfare social worker, that really hit me, that we need to make sure that we have the support both through our state agencies and with our partner nonprofits who also provide a lot of those supports.
Yeah, they do. And the thing is that I was really thinking about this, Kristen, because, you know, there's always calls to make agencies more efficient. And I'm sure that there are some administrative headaches that can be done efficiently with fewer people. But caseworkers specifically cannot ever be replaced by computers. They will never be replaced by computers. There's no substitute for a human being reaching out to another human being.
Lisa, I could not agree with you more. Connection is the word that really is kind of at the heart of my life and experience as a social worker. I was a youth minister before that and now as a legislator. And certainly when I was a child welfare social worker, those relationships and connections are really at the heart of that work to be able to help families get back on their feet, to help the children, to help people who are struggling and most vulnerable. I absolutely couldn't agree with you.
So I think that, you know, we have to look at which jobs disappeared. Are they the jobs that needed to disappear because, you know, they were some kind of a background job, or are they the caseworker jobs that disappeared and those need to be replaced? So somebody needs to take a drill down look into these statistics, don't you think?
Yeah, I do. And I also think we have to understand everything that's happening in the broader context of the pandemic, post-pandemic, wherever we are in the pandemic, and what that's meant for the world and the labor force in particular. And that we've seen that impacting. I worked on outdoor dining with the restaurants, and I know from talking directly with those business owners, that's very much impacted the restaurant industry. We had Sacred Heart leaders just pen an op-ed recently about shortages in healthcare and nursing. We know that we've had that same issue in our local law enforcement, and we're seeing this across the board, the way people work, how people work, where people work. And certainly in state government, the workforce has shrunk for a lot of different reasons over the past 10 years, really, as you were referencing previously with Governor Malloy. And we do have to make sure that we are prioritizing those essential services so that people can meet their basic human needs.
We're chatting with Representative Kristen McCarthy-Vahey. Kristen, as the chair of the Planning and Development Committee, you had a lot to do with which bills made it through the legislative process, which bills didn't, which were tabled, which were modified. Desegregate Connecticut has created a coalition of a lot of different organizations that are pushing for further centralized control in Hartford over zoning policies. You're representing Fairfield. Fairfield has been inundated lately with a lot of multifamily densing, a lot of 830G applications, a lot of things that people are afraid are going to transform the downtown. So talk to us about your philosophy, about your votes, and your attitude about local zoning versus centralized zoning and affordable housing. Where do you stand on this?
Lisa, thank you so much. There's a lot there and a lot to talk about. When I think about my role as a legislator representing Fairfield, as the co-chair of Planning and Development, also the co-chair of the Coastal Caucus, I think about planning for sustainable and smart growth. We do, I think, as a state, want to grow. After years of hearing about how many people were leaving Connecticut, now as we see more people moving in, certainly here in Fairfield, we've been fortunate to have a lot of folks moving in during the pandemic. We want to be able to address the needs of our seniors who want to retire in our community, of our students who want to return, but to do it in places and ways that make sense. And actually, a couple of years ago, I helped advocate for and successfully get some state funding for the town to do a transit-oriented development study to look at what the community would like to see in terms of how we develop along our transit corridor, which is kind of a natural place to do that. And there were some really great recommendations made. We've been very successful, I think, in the Commerce Drive area, specifically related to Metro Center, in creating some vibrancy there. We have a new developer that has purchased the property with the state and the local government. And I think there's opportunity there to be able to address some of the needs that we're seeing. And we know that housing is not just a Fairfield issue. It is not just a coastal issue. It's literally an issue around the nation in terms of the lack of housing supply, which, you know, basic supply and demand, we see that costs are going up. So affordability continues to be an issue. And you asked me, you know, my philosophy, it's really the prevention. I'm a social worker by training. So planning to me is a way of preventing and of helping our communities to be able to really proactively say, this is what we want to do. This is how we vision our community and where we want to go and how to best get there to meet the needs of the broader community.
How does 830G allow the community to control its own development? 830G shifts the burden of proof onto the town to prove why something shouldn't work and allows a developer to exempt himself from a lot of the local zoning requirements. So how does that put it in the hands of Fairfield itself?
Yeah, 830G, a lot of folks don't realize, is a bill that was passed 30 years ago. The last changes that we made to it, I joined the rest of our delegation, Democrats and Republicans, to make some changes to help our communities get to a moratorium. The focus there is about assuring that affordable housing is provided in communities around the state so that people have an opportunity to choose at every income level, because we know that a mix of incomes, a mix of background, a mix of gender, race, age, development is really important and helpful for a thriving community and neighborhoods like mine. And so 830G, that's true, and it's going to continue to pose a challenge, which is one of the reasons why giving towns and cities, but our towns especially, some helpful tools as they look to address how they develop and reach more affordable housing goals and provide that for their communities is really important.
But what are the local tools that you want to give them? We're chatting with Representative Kristen McCarthy-Vahey of the 133rd.
So I think one of the things that we did in last year's zoning bill was important is the affordable housing plans. And Fairfield has actually been really great about creating affordable housing plans and taking important steps forward to move on that. Last year's zoning bill required that every town and city in Connecticut submit a plan so that, again, there were steps going forward for that proactive approach. So far, 97 of 169 towns submitted them by the deadline that was June 1st. So we know we've got work to do. We had the Department of Housing had actually provided some technical support grants for communities to be able to help develop and create those plans. And I think that's the kind of thing we need to be able to provide more of that technical support. A lot of our towns don't have the type of resources within their planning departments to be able to do some of that work. Excuse me. And I think that's something that we need to do more of as a state to provide to them.
We're chatting with Representative Kristen McCarthy-Vahey. I just want to say that, you know, in my drill down of looking at this, and I was a planning and zoning member in Westport and a Zoning Board of Appeals member collectively for 6 years, and before that was a real estate attorney, I would say to you that I think that the fundamental premise of what is affordable and the way people go about getting these units really has some flaws. One of them, I think, is the idea that rental builds wealth. You're trying to, you know, ultimately build wealth in communities. I would rather see, and I know Connecticut's doing some of this, subsidizing a down payment for people to get them in and invested in their first home. Also, after 40 years, even under these 830G statutes, the formerly affordable unit reverts back to the developer, which is extraordinary to me. So it's not even a permanent thing. And the other thing that I think that should be looked at is the very opaque way in which these affordable unit housings are actually given out, distributed, publicly noticed, because I know really on the ground that a lot of people scratch their heads and say, what affordable housing? I can't get it. What are you talking about? And then the numbers come at them and they look completely unaffordable. So I just think, you know, there's sort of the 30,000 foot ideal and idea of making housing more affordable to people. And then there's the drill down of the way it actually works.
Lisa, I couldn't agree with you more. That I say often, A30G is a blunt instrument. And over the years, we certainly are seeing more applications now because this is what the market is looking for. However, over the years in Fairfield, I have been out against some of the 830G projects and in favor. You know, for example, we had a great project done here on the 133rd by our housing authority that actually turned out to be, I think, a real benefit to the neighborhood. But you're right that there are some real struggles with that legislation. And until I think the legislature comes up with some really ideal and possible alternatives for how we address the serious need for not just affordable housing, but housing that's accessible at all levels of income, right? I think that that's going to continue to be an issue. I think one of the things you brought up, and I'm so glad you did, is the down payment assistance. That program is really important.
It's amazing.
And, you know, wealth building, we see people building wealth largely through home ownership and sometimes through small business. And I think we just had a great announcement this week about some of the small business funds that are going to be able to support women and minority-owned businesses that the state was successful in getting approval from the federal government. But we are seeing more of a demand for rentals. And we know that because here in Fairfield, and rentals certainly at high income levels, here in Fairfield, the places that were built down by Metro Center are occupied at this point. And so that's where I talk about, you know, having places for our seniors to retire and the diversity of housing stock. I actually ran into a resident, literally was out on a jog. Her husband died during COVID. She owns a split level, you know, on about a 3/4 acre and really wanted to stay in her neighborhood, but was having a difficult time finding an apartment or a condo that she could rent or buy. Even so, I think those are all the struggles. And again, you know, when we did our TOD planning process here in Fairfield a few years ago, it was really a wonderful process. We had a lot of community engagement in how do we change those regulations that would then help us. And specifically, Lisa, you know, you talked about downtown earlier. We've got an 830G proposal right now in downtown Fairfield, which is a proposal I don't support. We have, you know, really worked hard, I think, to recognize that those mixed-use developments, especially in our downtown areas that allow for commercial together with residential, are really important for the vibrancy of our downtown centers. And that's, I think, one of the key reasons why that project doesn't make sense, along with the text amendment that that developer is proposing, that would impact more broadly, not just that project itself.
We're chatting with Representative Kristen McCarthy-Vahey. We're about to run out of time, but we have a caller who's been holding, James from Fairfield. You're on the air with your representative. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Kristen. I just wanted to ask if you are willing to vote to repeal 830G and why you haven't been testifying at the local TPZ meetings if you disagree with certain developments in town, particularly the one being built next to the community theater, the 60-unit apartment complex on Unquilla Avenue.
Thank you, James. Go ahead.
Thanks. Hi. Thanks, James. I'm not sure if you heard a few minutes ago. I do not support that development. And the last time that I had the opportunity to vote on 830G, I did vote to make changes. The vote that was before me was a vote to amend and not repeal. I don't serve as a member of the Housing Committee, but I'm always open to conversations as the Planning and Development Committee Chair. I've tried to do things that will help us get to those goals of addressing the affordable housing needs. But I think it's important right now for us in Fairfield to be able to seek that moratorium. And I did work last year in talking with some of our leadership about trying to extend those changes that we made 5 years ago, particularly because of COVID, that would help us with points for the moratorium.
We're chatting with Representative Kristen McCarthy-Vahey. I have one more question for you, and then we're going to have to run. I have a question for you about the legalization of marijuana. I haven't checked your voting record, so I really don't know if you voted to make it recreational or not. But I am wondering if you think that further legislation is needed on this because of a little bit of confusion about a lot of local control with respect to smoking of marijuana in public places. Did you vote for or against recreational marijuana?
Lisa, thank you. I did vote for it, but I do think we need to fix some of the pieces of that. I will also just make sure I put in a plug for recreational, which is for over 21. And to be very clear to all your listeners that use of marijuana is harmful and is still illegal. But to your point about some of those local issues, we also had some issues related to advertising. And there are a number of things. I've said this related to our hybrid meetings. There are a number of things that are legislation that we will live into and that will require changes over years going forward. And I think this is actually one of them.
Representative Kristen McCarthy-Vahey, thanks for joining us on the Lisa Wexler Show this morning. We really appreciate your time. Good luck in the upcoming campaign.
Thanks so much for having me, Lisa.
A pleasure. We'll be right back. We're going to switch the conversation around to what happened to Bobby the Bear and some people in the community who are second-guessing the response of the state's attorney's office not to prosecute the individual who shot Bobby the Bear to death, leaving two cubs homeless in a tree and motherless in a tree. And we're going to be right back with Annie Cornish from the Connecticut Humane Society and David Ackert, who is a local Newtown activist for gun safety and other causes. We'll be right back with the Lisa Wexler Show. Don't go away.